Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You know Sam Amick's a good man when he agrees to come on this show despite the fact that injury news is just literally raining from the sky. I don't know where he is, but he better have an umbrella. Kawhi, CP3. And yet the marvelously talented athletic writer who co-wrote a really great, big, important story on the Mavericks is making time for us right now. Hello, Mr. Amick.
Hello, Mr. Writer. Good morning, my friend.
Morning, buddy. So, great piece in The Athletic. We talked about it at length yesterday. For those that have not yet read it, it is about a gambling guru turned advisor to the Mavs. I'm going to butcher his name. Named Haralbus Vulgaris. He goes by Bob. Sounds like a Harry Potter curse. Who, according to Sam Yu and Tim Cato's reporting, has a lot of influence and has not necessarily been 100% universally loved by everyone in the organization, including Luka Doncic. Tell us, if you can, for those that haven't seen it, just a little bit about who this gentleman is and what he means to the Mavericks.
So he's worked with the team for, you know, an official kind of public capacity since 2018, but for quite some time before then in more of a informal state, and was somebody that Mark has done, Mark Cuban has done business with in the past, and so he, you know, came to appreciate his views on the game. And it's a little bit, I mean, this is a not a direct through line, Bill, but, you know, it has elements of kind of the age old Moneyball discussion, you know what I mean, where you have kind of the old guard sports crew within the Mavs that's been running the team for a long time, front office, scouting, things of that nature. And then here comes a new guy with outside the box views that the cutting edge owner empowers and believes in. And, you know, they obviously worked together for quite some time, but over time, there's obviously been a lot of frustration that his level of influence and his power had grown. And so if you put it all in the context of Luka Doncic, who, you know, to be clear, all signs continue to point to him signing his Supermax extension this summer. So we are not by any means saying that the future of Luka and Dallas is in peril anytime soon. But when a guy is that great, you need to analyze the environment around him. And so with that in mind, I do think that, you know, we shed some new light on a dynamic that is going to be tricky for them going forward, because Luka had gotten frustrated at everything from the way that Bob would kind of emote during games with his laptop on his, you know, lap sitting courtside, and, you know, setting rotations for Coach Rick Carlisle, or at least having a significant influence on the way the actual game action went, and then transactions, all the above. So kind of a character that most mainstream fans weren't even really aware of.
Sam Amick here on the show. It's an excellent piece of reporting with your colleague, Tim Cato. And it is well-sourced. And as I said yesterday to those of you listening, and most of you know this, but Sam Amick, one of the absolute, literally best reporters and most respected NBA reporters in the country. The only bad thing I can say about him is he makes a lot of us look bad on a regular basis, but that's his job. It's, you know, that's, you know, don't be so good at your job. That's part of the deal. And I know, Sam, you know that it comes with the territory that when you write things that are accurate in journalism that powerful people don't like, especially in 2021, they're gonna lie. They're gonna say it's not true. They're gonna get angry. They're gonna get frustrated. And I was struck by another NBA writer quoting Mavs owner Mark Cuban as saying they didn't reach out to me for a reason, disregarding the fact that he's quoted in the story and very clearly quoted, understanding what the story is about. I'm curious for you if you get frustrated, and I believe Mark also responded to, I think it was Tim's tweet, calling the reporting bullcrap, although if memory serves, Sam, he didn't use the word crap. Do you just roll your eyes, or is there a level of frustration when that kind of criticism that I'll argue, you don't have to, but I would argue is in bad faith, comes down?
I don't know, man. I've been doing this a while now, so my skin's fairly thick. If I'm being honest, internally, there's a little bit of like, you know, dots protest too much. And, you know, it's kind of rolled right off my back. I like Mark. I get along with Mark. And I will say, you know, one of the things that I have no problem debating, this is a journalism question, is there's an inexact science when it comes to when you have a sensitive story that at some point requires you to reach out to the main person in charge whose kind of entity you're talking about. The tricky line to walk is that, and I've gone through this in the last couple of weeks with different stories, is that, you know, if you give the person in question a very long time to chime in and respond and talk about it, then I hate to say it, and I sound like a cynic, but, you know, a lot of times they essentially try to burn you on the back end with other, you know, media outlets or do something to completely undercut the reporting that you spent a lot of time on. In this case, the quote that was in the story came via text message from Mark, but he had essentially told, I think it's fine to share this, like when Tim had reached out to Mark, because Tim was certainly the lead writer on this story, Mark was on a Zoom call. Mark was saying, you know, that he needed more time, and we held the story for over an hour waiting for that engagement. So we got only the text response, and then there was certainly a long conversation between them afterwards. So I get it. I just, again, as far as my reaction, it didn't hit me much at all, because I just think that it's not surprising that, for one, it's been a tough couple years for the Mavs when it comes to the general culture discussion. This one's not nearly as serious as some of the ones that came before. But that's a long-winded way of saying I kind of shrugged and move on. And I think, honestly, there's probably more stories to come down the road on the way they operate basketball-wise. And I think one of my favorite parts of this company and the job that I have now is that we're really good at pulling the curtain back and explaining how things are really working with these teams, as opposed to just kind of the overly simplistic look at it.
Sam Amick here on CBS Sports Radio discussing his excellent reporting along with Tim Cato in The Athletic on Harold Bob Vulgaris, Herolibus Bob Vulgaris. I'm bad at pronunciation, so this one really challenges that particular weakness. And so I'll just back up what Sam said. Haven't done it in a long time. I guess it's been 12 years, but did a lot of investigative reporting at the Kansas City Star, and you don't necessarily go to sources at the start and say, I'm going to accurately depict something that you don't want to be known, and here is the game plan so that you can try to thwart that reporting. Sam, it's interesting. One of the things that struck me in reading the story, right, the sort of the nuances of this, I thought about Jack Easterby, who is the sort of advisor and powerful guy in Houston,
Can I pin one thing to the back end of what you just mentioned?
Yeah, do it. Get in there.
Sorry, I apologize. I just wanted, for clarity's sake, the story was on his radar for weeks, two or three weeks.
Right.
So for what it's worth. But
you didn't go to and that's the way it works, right? Like the more you do reporting, you know, I don't know how you guys did it, but generally you sort of start as far out of the circle as you can and work your way in to know what you're talking about. Right. And at a certain point, as you work your way in, everybody knows what's going on. They know it's coming.
Right.
Yeah. Sam, I was thinking about Jack Easterby, who's has a similar role, advisory role with the Houston Texans, and has gotten sideways with some people there, including Deshaun Watson, before that particular story took a turn. And it's an NFL story, but it just struck me in an age, we talk so much about player empowerment, but it's also true that organizations are looking for intellectual edges in analytics, in data, in new ways to sort of assess talent and their sports. And that means owners are looking for new people to trust and to turn to. And without making an assessment on this particular guy, I'm just wondering to what degree NBA organizations are ripe for new voices, for better or for worse, to amass some power behind the scenes across the association.
Yeah, no, I mean it is a trend. I actually think basketball is behind baseball when it comes to the analytics front, and I think that part of the reason is you have the culture shock that happens with players like this sometimes, and I think, you know, it is a tough line to walk. I think, like I told someone the other day, one guy who came to mind, and tell me if I'm missing the mark on your specific question, but one guy who came to mind is Monty McNair runs the Kings as their GM now, and Monty was the head of analytics for the Houston Rockets, and a few years back, I did a story where they gave me access to the Rockets during the playoffs, which is very rare, as you know, and sat in on coaches' meetings and got to personally witness Monty interfacing with Mike D'Antoni at the time and doing a really effective job of, you know, bringing all of the analytic stuff that is often stigmatized and being a quasi-normal person, so to speak, meaning like not coming off like, you know, just an Ivy League guy or a non-basketball guy. Monty was part of their group, and Mike liked him, and it worked really well. And lo and behold, now he's running a team. But that, in my experience, that's the outlier. What happens a lot, you know, with guys who are in the analytics space is that unless you have, you know, a structure where the analytics guy then relays to somebody who can communicate in a different fashion, and then it goes to the team and the coach and the players, sometimes it gets messy. And the players, you know, who just grew up playing this game and knowing quickly that they were really good at it, the players are just, they don't want, you know, a million people in their ear telling them that, hey, this spot over here gets you a 75% better chance of hitting your bucket than this spot over there. And that's where I think the communication issues arise. And in this case, obviously some of them.
Sam Amick here on the show. Sam, obviously breaking news today with Kawhi Leonard and Chris Paul. Let's start, if you don't mind, with the Clippers. When Kawhi misses game five, if Kawhi misses more time, how do you personally reevaluate the likelihood LA can win that series?
I mean, I would certainly give the Jazz the edge. I'm pretty surprised, full disclosure, Bill, for one, it was a late night last night, so you talk about waking up to some NBA news today. My gosh. And with the Clippers, I literally sat with a fairly significant Clippers person yesterday, and I can tell you they did not have this kind of concern. So I was pretty struck by the verdict on Kawhi. So the Jazz have the edge. Paul George has been playing really well. You certainly looking still at Donovan Mitchell and his health and his ankle and his fatigue level, I think, after being out for so long before the playoffs. So I wouldn't say there's no way the Clippers do it, but, you know, that's their guy. He's, you know, even above PG, you know, Kawhi is the one at the center of everything they do. And, I mean, his dunk the other night, just to pick out one moment, was a reminder that, you know, when he can get up and go, he's incredible. So it's unfortunate, and we'll get to the other news in a minute, but just injuries in general, with Chris Paul going into the COVID protocol, it's just really, I cannot remember a playoffs that were this dramatically impacted by health and injury. So really unfortunate.
Yeah, it's unprecedented. And I'm not wishing this, of course, but, you know, it still feels like there's a potential awful shoe to drop for Joel Embiid and the Sixers. I mean, just everything we've seen and where we know the meniscus is, you go series by series and you just reference Chris Paul. Now, you know, I don't know, but you tell me what you think. I don't put you on the spot, but I was saying earlier, Sam Amick from The Athletic, that it just feels like, of all the things, it feels very likely, whatever the details are, that Chris Paul is going to play a whole lot of games in the Western Conference Finals, despite where he's at. Do you have any sense, and I know we have incomplete information, but do you have any sense personally of just the likelihood CP3 is back for the entirety or most of a Conference Finals?
I don't. I'll probably, to be honest with you, Shams Charania and my colleague at The Athletic had reported that, and we'll probably check in with him after this phone call and see, you know how it is. A lot of times you don't report everything you know because it's not 100%. So I'm sure he has a better idea. My first fear, when I saw the headline was it's a lot of these guys have been getting, 7 to 14 days. And that now that the break, and I mean, so then if you're Chris and the Suns, you're certainly rooting for a long Jazz Clippers series. And so hopefully, like you said, it's not too long. But, yeah, I mean, it's just you and I have talked about Chris countless times, and to see him the other night celebrating with Monty Williams. And
yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, it's a heck of a story, and I feel bad for him, and hopefully, again, he's back soon.
Last one for you, Sam. I know it's a busy day, and thank you, my friend, again for making time. It's really cool of you. So everything you know, everything you don't know, all the injuries, if you had to, because some obnoxious radio host that you know well, you know, makes you answer it on national radio, if you had to say the most likely, your favorite to win an NBA championship in this upside-down year, where do you even point right now?
I was probably pointing at the Clippers until this. I really don't know. Good Lord, Bill. You got me on the spot.
It's awful. I don't know either.
No, it is awful. Yeah. I mean, because it's like, listen, the Bucks were on the verge of, you know, and we're not alone. I'm sure we're already, you know, chipping away at our Bucks, Mike Budenholzer's in trouble stories. You know what I mean? They were dead to rights after two games. And then, you know, I mean, Kevin Durant yesterday was just obviously incredible, but they're still so banged up. So, you know, I mean, maybe that alone compels me to say the Nets, but, you know, they're dealing with Harden, who was back but not all the way back, and they're dealing with Kyrie being out. It's terrible. So, I mean, I guess I'd go Nets, but that's as big of a mass group as there is. So that's pretty telling if I'm going to pick a team like that.
Sam Amick from The Athletic, I appreciate you, man. I'll see you in Salt Lake or Milwaukee or Phoenix or Brooklyn or Philly or Atlanta in July.
Look forward to it. All right, buddy. Be good, Bill.
Thank you, dude.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.